아랑도 제 저게 다 가르치는 건 좀 콜디 콜이 취 가네지 있네야 안 레다 규다 근데 깨라 되네 저게 봐 샹라 되네 주바 맞어 샹라 맞어 봐 가야 주바 미노세 아 콜엔 데비 취 가네시네 람 곰베 덥게 람냠는 제발에 되네 주위 다 제나 샹실에 되네 주바 맞어 Nikanlah, madu apa orang ini cuti apa sih minus? Jadi, tuh sih nang tuh simpul je tu, kalau je ina, dah kalau tebi je, lamnyam ni je, jepal le tenye cumi je, kan? Jadi ni, tapi sih cila tu ni, anda palu apa, tapa sampai, ya apa sih madu? Siapa madu apa? Nang orang je, siapa madu apa? Tapa sampai, ya apa sih palu? Cemeng apa ni yang tu tenye je, nampak dah tu. And tell a dinner and a car hogwares in a gala, Madiova, Rangu, and the Truba said, Sawakin, Mindus, and Peggy Tongo, Dogores. I did the Negi, Dora, that don't buy it, Dobares. And the Negi Topu Ludi, that Janjusim, you couldn't allow it, the Negi Tommy Topu Ludilla, and Nemnejabaladin, San Jacobo, Topu, or S, Toby, Guti Chagorges, Jawaki, Lambres, on Dusinek, on the tissue, or Shusasa.
Good afternoon. This morning in the 10th verse, we looked at how all phenomena, whether of samsara or nirvana, these have come about as dependent arisings. Phenomena of samsara, these have come about in dependence on causes and conditions. Therefore, they are not independent, but dependent. The phenomena of nirvana, these too have come about in dependence. Independence on a path, or independence on several paths. So therefore, the phenomena of nirvana, these two are not independent, but dependent. Therefore, no phenomenon within samsara nor nirvana is truly existent, but rather are dependent arisings. When the practitioner searches via the technique of dependent arising, they come to realize that no phenomena are independent, but rather they are dependent arisings. When a bodhisattva gives rise to this realization of emptiness, then they have the causes required to speed rapidly towards the attainment of Buddhahood.
Nawa tinte lua meba na, donba kelente yu kuwa ni, jisi sosor nawa tisidu, tatung tubi gomba topa mes.
Come to the 11th verse. The understanding of appearances as non-deceptive dependent arisings, and the understanding that they are empty, for as long as those two are accepted as distinct, they will appear as separate, and for that long, the Buddha's intent will not yet be realized. Looking in the first line, the understanding of appearances is non-deceptive dependent arisings. Appearances then refer to all conventional phenomena. All conventional phenomena arise dependently or are dependent arisings. And this understanding is non-deceptive.
Tadi kunci ke nawa tinggi luar mepasi tu, nawa juga kunci tu cuci, tadi ye ane kasih aku tuji ke cuci tu ye, cakap kita kian siapa tuan cuba, kita kian lah tuan cuba serius tu luar mepari sesiapa, ane tuji membeli cuci tu ye, na siang cila tuan cuba pada, na siang cila tuan cuba orang sesiapa nawa luar mepari sesiapa kelim baca je, di kunci tu cuci tu nawa tinggi luar.
Next,
那等到了今年的，那我今年六月没把水流工资表缺的，嗯，东北水流断了，你把东北一些的，东北你的生活了。
All conventional phenomena are impermanent and are dependent on causes and conditions. As you heard this morning, also they are dependent on imputation by mind as well as mutually dependent. So the meaning of appearances is a dependently arisen phenomena, and what is non-deceptive is that, for example, from virtuous causes come about pleasant results. From non-virtuous causes come about suffering results, as well as from results have come from causes. So this understanding is non-deceptive. Then in the next line, we see the word, and they are empty. And this being empty, it refers to emptiness. So here we have the two truths, conventionally appearing, conventional phenomena that appear, and that they are empty. The first conventional phenomena is the conventional truth, and they appear. So that's the first line, where they are the appearances. The second line then refers to the ultimate truth, emptiness.
Strupne 매바레베스
We see in the first and second line the word understanding is repeated twice, because there are two understandings here, and the two understandings refer to the two truths. In the first line, we see it is in reference to the conventional truth, and the second to the ultimate truth. As we heard this morning, impermanent phenomena all are dependent, arise dependent on causes and conditions. And these phenomena are conventionally existent. They exist conventionally. But when we investigate their nature, we find that that conventionally existent phenomena do not exist by way of their own nature. They are empty of existing inherently or by their own nature, despite appearing as if they do. So therefore they are not established by way of their own essence. They are empty of true existence, inherent existence, empty of existing by way of their own nature or existence. And that is that realization of emptiness referred to in the second line, which is the ultimate truth. So in this way, we see the first two lines refer to the conventional truth and the ultimate truth.
So, 그런 전라드는 여바서 탄이도 여바래서 미네 그런 어디 다 로라 나와 나시 여러분 로라 나와 나시 여 말해 가서 로라 나주 간람아도 랑문도 주바 난 거래 지산 간람아도 랑문도 주베 나와데 동바래 동바래 오라신 주베 동바래데 그런 아니 여바래서 지산 수 그런 때도 군도베 남자시나 던담베 남자니 다 디나신 수단 자단 지단 로단 자자 땅아 세다 풍부어 세다 니네게 Tapasia, Ganesin, Dito, Kuzukunzubi, Namja Chita, Donabe, Namja, Yungre, Segurta, Donangui, Nisula, Dinish, Yores, Chukanesina, Korongui, Nisula, Korong Kunzubi, Namja Chita, Korong Yu, Tanyu, Yubati, Tanyu, Yubati, Korkunzubi, Namja, Takorongo, Rashing to be Tombe, Tombadi, Korongi, Donabe, Namja Chita, Kunzubi, Namja, Donabe, Tempe, Tempani, Yungre.
Preceding verse, we saw the term all phenomena. So here we can understand that all phenomena refers to impermanent as well as permanent phenomena. And when we divide impermanent phenomena, we have those, so impermanent phenomena are those that change momentarily, and permanent are those that do not change momentarily. And amongst permanent phenomena, there are three classes: form, consciousness, and other impermanent phenomena. And so therefore, all phenomena, whether permanent or impermanent, that appear to consciousness, such a whether form, such as objects we see or hear and so forth, or objects of thought, consciousness, all of these are empty of true existence and are dependent arisings. So to look at it a bit more, as we've heard thus far, impermanent phenomena arise in dependence on causes and conditions. But not only that, they are dependent on imputation and they are mutually dependent. Permanent phenomena too are dependent arisings, dependent on imputation. So all phenomena that exist are conventionally existent and they are dependent arisings. They are conventionally existent and they are dependent arisings. But they appear to us, though, as if they are independent. When one investigates to see whether they are, one realizes they are empty of existing by way of their own essence. In this way, we realize that they are empty of inherent existence. And that is the ultimate truth. That phenomena appear due to being dependent arisings show that they conventionally exist. And that is the conventional truth. But when one investigates to see if they exist in the way that they appear, one realizes that they do not. They are empty of existing in the way that they appear, and that is the ultimate truth. So here, one realizes that this verse refers here to the two truths.
Kundu to Yobada, Dunnebi, Rashi to be Tombe, Nampia, Ni Yobadida, Shatuku or Kashigi, Hakutuku or Marajida, Kilin Jawak, Kilin Jayu Kowa, Nisene, Karasu Borsenda, Dangaju, Bene, Suksia, the Surpa, Samdan, Sudpa, Jimson, Samdan, Guda, Jen, Shala, Dinner, Jubaipa, Samdan, Dukabla, and Mikasa Kashi, Dinner Yungu, Resore, Jesan Kasa Kashigi, Bene Juba Mawada, Denege, Kasa Kashigi, Kosudipa, Bene Sujubashayan, Sujilpa, Jeba, Che, Sudi, and Gudan, Jen, Shala, Dinner, Gudan, Jen, Dinner Juba, Toyo, Hakoyo, Do Jeba Jin, Jesan Sukoron, Gudan, Jen, Dinner Jubudu, Jesan Sukoron, Sukti, Rashin, Tubu, Tombadi, Hakut, Hakut, Goma, Shatu Goma, Reje. sukora rashing to be tongba resha sometime denig sometime do ta sukora meva charu dos chena do deni den some sukora zao in meva charu do chena da sukora yoba remindu sebege kunzu bi namcha ji sha khile tu go marache chena khile ndai yu go wa ni so denig sukora rashing to be tongba pha sometime do su thani do yoba de kunzu do yoba de sha ma tu ba che di khile ndi Suk Ranshin Jubi Tongpa Jeba Jeji Suk Ranshin Jubi Tongpa Ni Sam Tang Yung Du Ani Suk Di Rangung Tongpa Ni Sam Tang Yung Du Jeba Sam Tang Yung Du Kala Suk Di Mindu Sam Go Re Che Suk Mindu La Yung Du Da Suk Kun Du Yo Ma Re Sam Go Re Che San Samba Zan Suk Yo Ba De Ke Lin De Me Wa Cha Du Go Re Suk Yo Re Sam Be Ke Lin De Me Wa Cha Du Go Re Che Nero Wa Go Son Che San Kun Du Suk Ranshin Jubi Tongpa Sam Tang Yung Du Su kundu de yoba de sha tu guo ma de sha tu guo ma de je de. Ta su ran xin zhi bei ge su gu dan jian xian la de ne yoba sam da ju su kundu de yoba de sam da ye de su ran xin zhi bei dong ba de sha tu guo ma de. Ji zan ke lin zai yu guo wa ni shi ji ke lin de ji de ke lin tu guo ma ran xin zhi ba dong ba de san ke lin ba na kundu de yoba de san ke lin tu guo ma de. Kundu de yoba de san ke lin ba na Rashin to be Tongba is a killing to go, Majiza, Chick killing to Chick killing the Meva Charo, Chick killing the Chick killing Meva Charo, killing Jayu Guani City, Chick the killing to Chick the killing the Charo, the Meva Charo, what is one? Jenna Disora, killing Jayu Guani.
The first line presents the conventional truth, how phenomena conventionally exist, and the second line presents the ultimate truth, how they exist ultimately. Now coming to the third line, for as long as those two are accepted as distinct, they will appear as separate. So this then refers to a mistake that some philosophers, some tenet holders will make. When they reflect on dependent arising or the emptiness of inherent existence, they don't realize the relationship between these two. They see them as distinct. And as long as they do not realize the relationship between the two, they will remain separate for them. For example, some of the lower philosophical schools, they assert that phenomena exist by way of their own nature, their own essence. And they say that's because they are dependent arisings. Because a phenomenon arises independent on causes, that shows that phenomenon exists by way of its own nature. It's because it arises independent on causes, it exists by its way of own nature. It requires its own nature or essence in order to exist. And the fact that it does exist dependently proves this. So when one of these non-prasangika schools reflect on dependent arising, they acknowledge that an impermanent phenomenon has come about in dependence on causes. So they will say, yes, it is a dependent arising. But therefore, it exists by way of its own nature. It is truly existent. Whereas, so therefore, they don't progress to investigating to see whether the phenomenon is also empty of inherent existence. And in this way, the two realizations of dependent arising and emptiness are separate for them. Then conversely, when one of the non-prasangika philosophers investigates, and now they're investigating to see, they're investigating the phenomenon, and they find if they find that it doesn't exist by way of its own nature, that to them means it's non-existent. So for them, the emptiness, the realization of emptiness that prasangikas strive towards. Should one of these non-prasangikas come to realize that a phenomenon does not exist in the way that it appears, doesn't exist by way of its own essence or nature at all, then they say that phenomenon cannot exist. It is non-existent. So therefore, if they reflect, realize the phenomenon is empty of existing in the way that it appears, empty of existing by way of its own essence, they will say that it is not a dependent arising because it is non-existent. So here we see how such a philosopher will, for them, these two techniques to realize reality, dependent arising and emptiness, are distinct. They are separate for them, and they are not able to realize both together.
Kunzu bin namsha da dönde bin namsha nyi bodi, cisi sosor nawa disi du sigur, cisi sosor nawa disi du sigur, kunzu bin namsha da pa keli, cisi sosor nawa disi du, 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 cisi sosor n kundu yeba sedi, remindus meba rechasin begi, yeba de shatu goma, jena jisi sosor nawa sedi, kundu de yebe, namji kundu de yeba resin, kailin jen yedi, ranjin dupe tongba sedi, shatu goma, jena, da ranjin dupe tongba res, samtan yedi, kundu de yeba de shatu goma, jena, jik shadu, jik shatu goma, jik shadu, jik shatu goma, jena, sosor nawa sedi. Jisan
To get this across clearly, let's look through the three lines again briefly. So the first line presents that all phenomena are dependent arisings. For example, impermanent phenomena are all dependent on causes and conditions. And this is referring to how phenomena conventionally exist. They arise in dependence on causes. With that understanding then, one looks for the phenomenon's nature in that to see if it exists by way of its own nature like it appears, and one realizes the second line, that the phenomenon is empty of existing by way of its own nature, and one realizes emptiness, the ultimate truth. So in the first line, one realizes the conventional truth, which means how phenomena exist conventionally or ordinarily. Phenomena ordinarily exist by way, because there are dependent arisings, for example, on causes. But when one seeks out their nature, one realizes they do not exist by way of their own essence or their own nature. They are empty of doing so, and one realizes the emptiness of that conventionally existent phenomenon. But for non-prasangika philosophers, for as long as those two are separate, are accepted as distinct, those two being the understanding in the first line, dependent arising, and the understanding in the second line, emptiness, as long as those two are accepted or believed to be or asserted as distinct, they will appear as separate. The meditator, the non-prasangika meditator, will not be able to realize that a single phenomenon is conventionally existent, a dependent arising, as well as empty of inherent existence. They cannot realize that a single phenomenon is a conventionally existent because it's a dependent arising, the first line, then, but when you seek out its nature, it's empty of existing by way of its own nature, in the second line. So these non-prasangika meditators cannot realize the emptiness and dependent arising on one basis, in relation to one object. They can only, because they accept dependence arising and emptiness as distinct, they realize them separately. They can only realize one of them. So for example, if a phenomenon, they reflect on a phenomenon and they recognize, yes, it's a dependence arising, it's arisen in dependence on causes. So they've realized that it exists as a dependence arising, it's conventionally existent, arises in dependence on causes. But they cannot realize it's empty of inherent existence because their understanding of dependence arising is a phenomenon can only arise in dependence on causes if it exists by way of its own nature. So therefore, that phenomenon does exist by way of its own nature. So therefore, such a philosopher realizes the phenomenon is dependently arisen, but they cannot realize that it's empty of inherent existence. On the other hand then, should they meditate on that phenomenon looking for its nature, a nature that establishes it, and not be able to find it? They say, oh, it's empty of existing in the way that it appears. So they have an understanding of emptiness, but they can't conjoin this with their understanding of dependence arising, because they see them as separate. And this is because they now come to the conclusion, this phenomenon is empty of existing by way of its own nature, therefore it is non-existent. Therefore it is non-existent. And if it's non-existent, it cannot be a dependence arising. So for this reason, the non-prasangika philosophers, they cannot realize that a phenomenon is both conventionally existent and empty of inherent existence. And therefore, they cannot realize the two truths in relation to a single object. The meditator holds a prasangika view will be able to realize that each phenomenon or any phenomenon is both a dependent arising and empty of inherent existence. The first two lines in this verse, they will be able to realize the meaning of these two lines, will have applied these two understandings to any phenomenon, realizing that a phenomenon that exists conventionally as it is a dependence arising. It's come about in dependence on causes, or it's mutually dependent, or dependence on imputation by mind. But when its essence is sought, does it exist in the way that it appears? Emptiness is realized. And it does not exist in the way that it appears. And thereby the ultimate truth is realized. The conventional truth is it exists conventionally in that it's a dependent arising. But it's also, the ultimate truth applies in that it's also empty of inherent existence. So in this way, the Prasangika realizes the two truths based on the single phenomenon. The non-Prasangika, so this is just a recap of what's been said previously. The non-Prasangika, when they look at, investigate an object, they cannot realize the two truths in relation to a single object. Either they investigate seeking its nature and do not find it, but they will then say that phenomenon doesn't exist. If it doesn't exist by way of its own essence, non-existent. And if it's non-existent, they cannot say it's a dependent arising. So they may realize something is empty of existing by way of its own nature, but they then come to the conclusion that it doesn't exist, it's non-existent, so therefore it cannot be a dependent arising. Now, if they employ first the technique of dependent arising, they realize that a phenomenon exists conventionally because it's a dependent arising, whether on causes or imputation or mutually dependent. So they'll say, yes, this phenomenon conventionally exists, it's a dependent arising, and therefore it exists by way of its own nature. They will not try to seek out its nature, because if they were to seek out its nature and not find it, for them, this conventionally existent phenomenon, that is a dependent arising, wouldn't exist anymore. So therefore, the non-Prasangika cannot realize the two truths on a single basis.
Then, the don't to be gomba toba me, said that the don't to be gomba toba me, said the carcivores in a day, some died, said that she chigi tendo go, good and gentle dinner, some good and gentle dinner, who do be over, you over some down you do, the nature do, rushing you to be tongue by the bar, tongue by the mare, some bill, tongue by the shama to bache. The rushing to be tongue by tongue by the part tongue by the budu, some down you. Sukhoro meba cha rugu du sen be su gyo ba sha tu meba ina de ni gyo lo de de ni shyo ba ina ana tu bi gong ba to ba me sin tu ba san ye jim ne de ye gong ba sun she bi gong ba dong ba ni se de to yo ma le de ni ge sam dang ga za de gi ta tu ba jim ne de ye sun she bi ge ma de ge de a san ye gong ba to ba la dong yin tu bi to lo gong gu gu le se bi dong ba ni se de de dong ba den da ji to tu yo dong ba ni to tu yo ma le se de dong de dong tu bi gong ba to ba me ko de de ni ge
接把几个的一年，他突破突破商业局面的有损失，被恐怕拿心动把你的多土要买来是不呢？Final line in the 11th verse, and for that long, the Buddha's intent will not yet be realized. So for these meditators who do not hold the Prasangika view, for as long as they don't hold the Prasangika view, they will see dependence arising and emptiness as distinct, and they will appear to them as being separate, which means that they, according to their understanding, if a phenomenon exists, it is a dependent arising, but it can only exist by way of its own nature, therefore it cannot be empty. If a phenomenon is empty of existing by way of its own nature, it is non-existent. So either a phenomenon exists and is a dependent arising, but not empty of existing by way of its own nature, or a phenomenon is empty of existing by way of its own nature and therefore non-existent. So someone who holds such a view has not realized emptiness. They do not understand how phenomena exist in reality. And therefore, they haven't cultivated the wisdom that is the antidote to the afflictions. They haven't cultivated the wisdom that leads to liberation and enlightenment, and therefore they have not realized the Buddha's intent.
Oh, the Nigida, this is so now, the Nigi, you can't, the Dangan to get Nangbe, Jumdamawa, Shevana, Sulungor, Senda, Jeramawa, Dodeba, the Semzamba, the Umarangiba, Chasan, the Jesa, Umarangiba, Yina, who treat him, Jay.
All the non-prasangikas, they accept dependence arising. Certainly they'll accept that they accept dependence arising. Their understanding is a bit different from the prasangikas, but they accept dependence arising. For example, all Buddhists assert that impermanent phenomena are dependent on causes. The non-prasangikas, though, they believe that because something exists, an impermanent phenomenon exists, it is a dependence arising, a dependence on causes, but it can only be so because it exists by way of its own nature. Only because it exists by way of its own nature or essence, that it is self-existent, can it arise from causes. And therefore, if that phenomenon turns out when one investigates, does not exist by way of its own nature, it's not self-existent, actually it cannot exist, it does not exist. Because of this misunderstanding, because of this wrong view, they cannot realize the two truths on the basis of a single object. Middle way school, this, the Madhyamaka, this has two subdivisions, Prasangika and Svatantika. Svatantika accept the two truths, but their understanding is a little mistaken. So the Prasangika say that true existence and inherent existence are synonymous. Prasangika say true existence and inherent existence are synonymous. But Svatantika say there's a difference between the two. So Svatantika say we can assert the two truths on a single phenomenon because we hold that a phenomenon is empty of true existence and it is a dependence arising, dependence on causes. So that, thus far, sounds exactly the same as the Prasangika. So again, the Svatantika says a single object is both empty of true existence and dependence on causes. So therefore, we, Svatantikas, can posit the two truths on a single phenomenon. But then they go on to say, but nevertheless, that phenomenon is inherently existent. A synonym for inherent existence is naturally existent. In other words, they assert that this phenomenon that is empty of true existence and is a dependent arising, it does exist by way of its own nature, its own essence, its own inherent existence. So therefore, they say that a phenomenon is a dependent arising and is empty of true existence, but it is still inherently existent. So therefore, they make an error here. Because if they were to, according to their view, if they find that a phenomenon doesn't exist by way of its own nature, then it is non-existent. So therefore, if something exists, it's a dependent arising, and it's empty of true existence, but it does still exist by way of its own nature. So that's the view of the Svatantika. And because of this error, they are unable to realize the Buddha's actual intent. Svatantika present this maybe analogy. They're saying, if you're searching for something, you've lost something in your room and you're searching for it and you cannot find it, and you cannot find it because it is not there, so it really isn't in your room, you cannot find it, it's non-existent in your room. Likewise, if something doesn't exist by way of its own nature, it's non-existent.
But
if one is searching for something one has lost in one's room, and one finds it, then you'll say, yes, here it is. You do not say, it is not here, because you have now found it and you're holding it. So therefore, they say, if something cannot be found, it doesn't exist. If it exists, it can be found. So that's the view of the Svatantika. They say, if you can't find it, can't exist. If it is findable, it exists. Just to rephrase that last phrase. If it exists, it is findable. That's clear. This morning's session, I was presenting how one searches for the person, and when Svatantika, when they search for the person, they do so going through a similar approach as Prasangika, but they do find something and say, this is the person, this is the nature by which the person exists, and that is the subtle primary mental consciousness. So the subtlest of consciousness, this is what the Svatantikas point to and assert, this is the person, This is the essence or the nature by which a person exists. As I mentioned a couple of segments before, the Svachantika believe that if you search for something and you cannot find it, it doesn't exist. If something exists, it has to be findable. So the person exists. Everyone says the person exists. Everyone agrees the person exists. But then according to the Svachantika, the person should be findable. So what is it they assert is findable? The subtle primary mental consciousness. That is the nature by which the person exists. And therefore, the person is not empty of inherent existence. The person is not empty of inherent existence because the person does exist by way of its own nature. And that is, that illustration then is, the subtle primary mental consciousness. And this again goes back to what was said a moment ago. Because if someone who holds the Svachantika view searched for the person and didn't find the person, they would have to assert that the person is non-existent. Because if something, anything, doesn't exist by way of its own nature, it doesn't exist. It doesn't exist. So if they searched for the person and did not find anything, they wouldn't come to the conclusion, oh, the person is empty of inherent existence. They come to the conclusion, the person doesn't exist. The person is non-existent. So therefore, they cannot posit the two truths onto the single basis of the person. They can't say that the person both conventionally exists and is empty of inherent existence. Because for them, such a statement is contradictory.
And tenju bigi da de la disungora da rangi bu khron yi gi number sheba chamo de da khor zhe ni nie che ga sa sa de ti zhe ni nie ne rang wen ni zhu ba xia yong duas jiao na jie zan di den de yi number sheba de ga sa de rang wen ni zhu ba de la na rang wen ni zhu la yong de xia la ma de ba sa de ma de ba jiao gu le zhe jie zan da tenju bigi ga ru sung gor sen jie zan yi gi number sheba chamo de ga sa de rang wen ni zhu ba de la na xia la ma de ba jin gu le zhe Shana Matuba Re Lamna Nanzu Shimjuchi, Gansa Yinabashiba Chamodi, Sheba was. Cesar Digi showing at the Sheba Chebanaji, called Kitching Ama the two words, Kitchi Chimal, actually, Kitching actually two words. Cesar Kitching Ama, Chimadi, Namal Dugor, Nama the Chimal Dugor, Kitching actually Matuba, Yinabashiba Chamodi, Shatugum those. And Jigne Koron Sheba in the Ujile, you call Rigba, Rigba Ladu, Garrigo, Korong, Rix, Ujiko, Ujile, Dene, Korigba, Jesa Sheba said, Yi number Sheba Chamos, Sheba said, Korong Kitching Achila, Dene, Korong Uji, Rigba, Delia, Luipa, Sheba, Yi number Sheba Chamos, Luipa Tapas, Yubari Mado, Jesa Yula Matuba, Kitching Achila Matuba, Yi number Sheba, Dusheba, Jena, Yam Duas, Meva, the Rashi Maduba, yes, and do some more than you begin.
Here hearing this explanation, the Prasangikas will reply to the Svachantikas. So you are saying that the person, like all phenomena that exist, exists by way of their own inherent nature. So therefore, they are independent. Because they exist by way of their own essence, their own nature, they are not dependent arisings, they are independent. But as we heard earlier, because the subtle primary mental consciousness is a consciousness, as we heard earlier, consciousness is dependent. You're saying it's independent, but you're mistaken. And you're mistaken for two reasons. The first of which is consciousness is dependent on two things. Previous moments. From one moment follows another moment follows another moment. Consciousness is therefore dependent on each current moment is dependent on the preceding moment. Secondly, consciousness is also dependent on having an object. We heard this morning that consciousness is clear knowing, so an object has to appear to consciousness, and consciousness has to know it. That's to fulfill the definition. So for these two reasons, consciousness is the dependent arising, including this most subtle of consciousnesses. Therefore, the only way the person exists in relation to this consciousness is that it is merely imputed by mind onto this subtle consciousness. And therefore the person is a dependent arising, dependent on imputation by mind onto the subtle consciousness. From this explanation, I think we can understand that it is quite easy to come to the mistaken view that the non-prasangikas come to, in that if we meditate on something, looking to see whether it exists in the way that it appears, and then we don't find it and realize it's empty of existing in the way that it appears, we may well fall into the wrong view of thinking, and therefore it does not exist. Because if we think about it, what we are investigating is to see if something exists in the way that it appears, which means this is how from lifetime to lifetime we believe that every phenomenon really exists. It has its own essence. It exists in the way that it appears. There really is something there. This is what we grasp at. So we have this deep-seated conviction that the self or any phenomenon exists in the way that it appears. When we realize, but actually realize, that it does not exist in the way that it appears, it's very likely the thought will come up, then it cannot exist. Because for so long I've believed it exists like this, and now I can't find it. It doesn't exist like this, so therefore it must be non-existent. So to prevent oneself from falling into that mistaken conclusion, it's important throughout our training that not only do we receive many teachings so that we can even get this far, but that we also make prayers, that our meditation is correct and unmistaken, and supplications to our Lama and the Buddha and Yidam for that guidance, that our meditation remains unmistaken and we don't come to a wrong conclusion.
Namshi rejo mepara chikjerdu, tenzhi milu tongwa zamnyi ne, ngeshi yuji tsindang kunjik na, ndese tawye cheba zoba laas. Na, deshi ngan zhugi, denigi rejo lebay na, tuba sanye chumdendi yusung cheba na, yu tongba nidi toyo maray larwa. Ta, tuba sanye chumdendi yusung bi gongba na, shin shi tongba yin toba la, ganesh yunguri esine, ganesh yunguri esine, denesh yunguri esine.
Now we come to the next verse, which delves into this more deeply. And this presents how one comes to... So we've seen here in the verse we've just completed that one needs to realize the two truths on one object, both the conventional truth and the ultimate truth, realize both dependence arising and emptiness on one object. Now in the next verse, we look at how these two realizations come together. Eventually, the two realizations abide without alternation, but both together. Then, from the very moment of seeing dependence arising as non-deceptive, that determinative consciousness completely eradicates the way objects are grasped. At that point, your analysis of the view is complete.
Jeba chen de sam tang che jeba che gom che tong pa ni ran shi yu tu pe tong pa tong sang chi ya jige to ya chi yung gu ruwa nam shi se tu su nam shi le tu su chi la si gu ruwa tu su chi le de kap chi le si gu ruwa da ngan zu de tong pa ni to ya ge ton da le jeba che ten je sam tang du chen sam tang ne ga sam chi le ya an ten je yu kim zan chen de chue tam che rang ge chi yu tu pe tong pa tong sang she sha san pe tong pa yi du gu ruwa de ne nam shi se de nam shi de ne ge tong pa ni to ya du re jo me pa ra chi che du se de kar chu gu ruwa se ne re jo se de de shi se de re jo cha gu ruwa ga zong kun zu pe nam che sam tang ya du.
As we saw in the 10th verse, one meditates on dependence arising, seeing how phenomena exist as conventionally existent, and thereafter one meditates to see if they exist by way of their own nature, and one realizes they are empty of inherent existence. So there's a sequence between these two. But what we need to come to is to realize so as to overcome seeing these two understandings that something conventionally exists, but ultimately it does not. So the ultimate truth as well as the conventional truth, we need to get to the point of familiarity in our meditation that through meditating on the one technique that naturally or spontaneously induces the other. So for example, when one meditates that a phenomenon is conventionally existent, so it does exist, because it is a dependent arising, rather than having then separately meditating that it's also empty of inherent existence, realizing the ultimate truth. When one, for example, realizes that the phenomenon is empty of inherent existence, immediately then the realization comes, and it is therefore an empty of therefore it is a dependent arising. So when one realizes that a phenomenon is empty of inherent existence, then this induces the understanding, and therefore it is also a dependent arising. So that's the meaning of the first two lines. Eventually, the two realizations abide without alternation, but both together. Then, from the very moment of seeing dependence arising as non-deceptive,
Gansadi, Gudan, Jin, Shanle, Dunu Juba, Dingin, Jawa Chunga, the Dongu, Ditobeke, Gansad, Dingin, Jawa Chunga, Tope, Tama, Digi, Shuki, Lamsa, Takansadi, Gudan, Shanle, Dunu Juba, Shanle, Dun, Lu, Shaba, said the Dongu, and the Barrioson, Gansad, said the Kanle, Madu, Rangu, the Jubsawak, and Yomare, Sebege, Domba in the Jangu, Domba in the Lu, the Jangu, Esure, Chisna, Dandala, Carson. Gansa Ranshin Yimadruba Tongpa Yintobu Lodhigi Ane Jin Shuki Lamsan Gansa Di Tienchen Trawa Shien La Duen Truba Yoba Tobu Lodhi Jin Tugu Rez Gansa Tienchen Trawa Chungwa Tobu Lodhigi Ane Samdang Du Jiyong Du Lamsan Gansa Ranshin Trubi Tongpa Di Jin Tugu Rez Tongpu Lodhi Jin Tugu Rez Chisa Lodhi Ki Du Lodhi Ki Jik Nika Jik Pinsun Shuo Ji Gu Rez Jiki Jik Jin Tugu Rez Chisa Dini Ki Jin Tugu Rez To a son, you gymnasium, Sumba, Nas, Doma, Topi, Tales. Dejin, yeah, like I said, chick the Samta, chick the car, chick the chin to chick the Samta, Mela Charu, Chesan, Dima in Baja, Daddy, Gansa, Ranshi, Madruba, Topi, Lodi, Tomba, Lodi, Gansa, Tinti, Lodi, Tin, Digi, Shuk, Jen, Gores, Gansa, Tinti, Samta, Gansa, Tinti, Jawa, Topi, Lodi, Gansa, Ranshi, Topi, Tomba, Sambi, Tongi, Topi, Lodi, Jen, Gores, Chicho, Chicho, Chesan,
Eventually, the two realizations abide without alternation, but both together. Then, from the very moment of seeing dependence arising as non-deceptive, that determinative consciousness completely eradicates the way objects are grasped. Once commencing one's training, one will meditate on dependence arising and emptiness, emptiness of inherent existence. Those two meditations or meditative techniques aren't necessarily complementary, although there's no contradiction. But as one gains a realization or understanding in one area, it blocks the other from arising at the same time. So here, the mark of success in one's or progress in one's meditation is these two coming together. When one meditates on, for example, the person or any phenomenon, to see, first one sees how it appears, appears as independent, then one investigates and realizes it doesn't exist in the way that it appears. It's empty of existing the way that it appears. One realizes emptiness. And then what is unique here or new here, the power of that mind that realizes emptiness induces the understanding that, that phenomenon is empty of an inherent existence because it is a dependent on imputation. So here the two work in harmony. You repeat it, you investigate to see if the object exists in the way that it appears. You realize, it's empty of existing in the way that it appears, and therefore it is also dependent on imputation. So the one realization induces the other through its own power. And it doesn't only work in this direction, it works where one first meditates on dependent arising and recognizes that a phenomenon is dependent on causes or mutually dependent or dependent on imputation. And that realization induces, through its own power, that therefore that phenomenon is also empty of inherent existence. So here, in both directions, either meditating on emptiness first or dependence arising first, when one realizes that the phenomenon, for example, is the dependent arising, therefore it is empty of inherent existence. But by the power of that initial realization, the second is induced. So this is how these two techniques we need to develop so that they interact or induce each other. This morning I mentioned there are dependence arising can be understood in through different techniques, such as on causes, on parts, on imputation by mind, or mutually dependent. But also, I mentioned that there are degrees of coarseness and subtlety to the realization of dependence arising. So when the yogin is at this level, they are realizing subtle dependence arising, which is that, for example, the person is merely imputed by mind onto the very subtle mind. What is being pointed to, though, in this 12th verse, is that the yogin here, through the force of that realization of dependence arising, that mind induces the realization of, therefore, the person is empty of inherent existence. And the converse is true. When the yogin meditates that the person is empty of existing the way that appears as empty of inherent existence, that by the force of that realization, the realization that, therefore, the person exists as a dependent, arising dependence on imputation by mind. So there's this process. Previously, in the 11th verse, one would meditate on the one, and then in a separate process, maybe the same meditation session, but a separate process, one meditates on emptiness. First on dependence arising, then on emptiness, or then on emptiness, then on dependence arising. Maybe one meditation, one object, but these are distinct. Here, in the 12th verse, the one realizing consciousness induces the second realizing consciousness. So they're not simultaneous, but through the force or the power of the former, the latter is induced. And when one does that, at that point, the fourth line, at that point, your analysis of the view is complete.
Delia namji rejume ba chikchar du se nyam du se ji gu du chikchar du se dang wo chik dang wo de nyam du chikchar nyam du se du wa je chikchar du se de da chikchar du se de nyam du se gu ma le gu ma da ga je dang da la kar so zen dong ba ni do bu lo di sam dong wo dong ba ni do lo di pa ga sa ji mi ne ga sa di ra xin ju be dong ba ni sam dang de de ge dong ba ni do bu lo di ge lam sa an ga sa ji ra 居然见现起了，现了对的主巴的，是对巴的，是别的真土果的些。但刚才讲了，居然现了对的主巴，对的主巴的，对巴的三当一对，那么啥刚才的，没对巴让我们的主巴动巴的，是不？那么啥，那么啥的真土果的些，起码你你送过嘛的，你个你举起了你们的那个些，等下什么证据了？等那个举起了你们的那个嘛的，但上界了，你个用过的，这些都用过的。
Let's be clear on the first line. Eventually the two realizations abide without alternation, but both together. So together here doesn't refer to simultaneous, the same instant. Together here still means sequential. Only a Buddha realizes the two truths simultaneously. Here the yogin is realizing them together, but sequentially. The key difference that is being made in the 12th as opposed to the preceding verses is that the former realization, that consciousness, induces the next the subsequent realization. So they immediately follow each other, that the two realizations immediately follow each other, hence we say they're together, and moreover, the former induces the latter. Hence we say together. But it's not simultaneous. Only a Buddha will realize the two truths simultaneously.
Kuyu 干啥的俺是落了闹啊闹就搞了刚来嘛就让我们的主播闹啊拿心情等等民族身边闹啊拿心情民族闹就搞不搞的那我是刚来嘛就让我们的主播弄个多就像他的闹啊拿心都给民族干的都结巴起的现在了对的主播才你多现在对的主播人多就像现在对的主播人咋的刚来嘛就把的民族身边给东北都给落的几头给的也就当然都几个公你几个人是 你接着他东北人都问你接吧那但是我们都接了呀那这个有可能是通商被那地通的哦这这说那完那些让我们的主播的有马的身边其实东北人多半是这实际上现在对的现在就是对的用过的身边对着的那么些的谁不好过的其实对着给那么些的哦他对的主播的身边三个党员都那么上他刚来嘛都让我们的主播到你的有马的身边给三个都是利用过的是你在电力给你讲我们就给 他的卡桑达那是第一学位的这些的他都是现在等到了宁波的那是东北多或者东北多吧了结巴结上可能结果是电线这娃就往上当的都是结巴结果的结巴结的搞了人家觉得他们家刚来对吧没有可是现在对的主播是好过的他那娃那些刚来嘛就把让我们的主播下的在我给你民族身边给东北人多回落的几头过的也是的但等到宁波的俺就给你的就在今天俺就是呢都是现在俺就结巴结上当俺那刚才给你用的都是说现在落了呀小的搞的落了呀可能是南国都是南塘的也不就我说现在跟南国都上大等大的在那娃那些他可能是那些身边那娃接单那娃接单俺南苏接单我也是的听不懂听不懂结巴结的他欢迎结巴结其实我也是的跟他吃一顿我也是的想了对的主播那个对的居然见下了对的用过吧的他南苏的嘛对吧那个的第一没听不下的过了现在没听不下的我也是的可能是现在对的主播有
And to end today's teaching, this is how I encourage you to utilize what has been presented here in your meditation. So first of all, the purpose for doing this meditation is we have already come to recognize that the root cause of all our pain and misery is the ignorance of self-grasping. And the ignorance of self-grasping has one sole direct antidote, and that is this, the consciousness that follows was cultivated in this meditation, the wisdom realizing emptiness. Wanting to be freed of pain ourselves, wanting to have a great benefit on the lives of others, this is the meditation that's required. So I encourage you to do the meditation is to utilize both aspects of what you've learned here and previously in terms of how to meditate on dependence arising as well as how to meditate on emptiness. Use the two together. We've seen here the importance of the two being meditated on together. So all phenomena, whatever object you are choosing to meditate on, whether it's the person or any object of samsara, something that you see, something that you hear, something that you taste, or something you are thinking about, a particular consciousness, etc. All of these, all phenomena exist as dependent arisings, but they do not exist by way of their own nature. This is also true for virtuous phenomena that lead to the attainment of nirvana, such as mental paths, minds such as love, the wisdom realizing emptiness, these consciousnesses. They also exist dependently, but lack inherent existence. So whatever phenomenon you take as an object of meditation, look first how it appears to your mind, and that is as if it is self-existent. Then ask yourself, does it come about in dependence on causes? Yes, it does. Come about, most phenomena that we all meditate on are impermanent, they change momentarily, so we can recognize that it, this whatever we are meditating on has come about in dependence on causes, and therefore its conventional way of existing is as a dependent arising. And then meditate to see if it exists in the way that it appears, so independently, and you'll find it's empty of existing that way. And this is its ultimate truth. It's empty of existing inherently. And you can also then practice going in the alternative direction. See how the phenomenon appears, and then instead of asking yourself first, does it arise in dependence on causes here? Ask yourself, does it exist in the way that it appears? And you look for its own nature or essence, and you don't find it. And you realize that it's empty of existing in the way that it appears. And then secondly, therefore, it is a wealth that exists, it is empty of existing in the way that it appears. It does still exist, and how so? As perhaps dependence on causes, but certainly dependence on imputation by mind. So here, this is a topic that is in order to gain a transformative understanding of, one needs to meditate on it repeatedly so as to overcome deep-seated, ingrained habits of relating to everything that appears to mind as existing in the way that it appears. Because we start to see as we do this meditation that there's a discord between how phenomena appear to us and how they exist in reality. The way they appear is not how they exist in reality. And the more time and more through engaging this meditation repeatedly over a sustained period, one gains ever more certainty and ever more familiarity with no phenomenon exists in the way that it appears. It's empty of existing in the way that it appears, but it does still exist as a dependent arising. In this way, we come to see that phenomena's conventional way of existing or conventional way of abiding is dependent. Its ultimate way of existing, its ultimate way of abiding, or its final way of abiding, is emptiness. Then, dependent on the familiarity that you gain in meditation, in post-meditation session, when you're walking around, when you're sitting quietly, every object of consciousness, whether it's something you see or hear or something you are thinking about, remind yourself, it does not exist in the way that it's appearing to my mind. It's empty of existing this way, in the way that it appears. So you recall the ultimate truth. But it does still exist. How so? As a mere imputation by mind. Only as an imputation by mind. So that's its conventional nature. So therefore, as you gain further familiarity with this meditation, and it has more impact in meditation, out of meditation, one can call this to mind evermore. And this then serves to transform how we relate to everything we think of. All phenomena, other people, etc. Transforms how we relate to them. Because when we recognize that a phenomenon doesn't exist in the way that it appears, we will not grasp at it so tightly. And when we realize that this conventional way of abiding is merely as an imputation, we recognize that our imputations are of great importance, what we impute onto the object. And this then serves to transform the way we engage in the world. So we'll conclude there for now, thank you. And then tomorrow we'll conclude our time together. So thank you very much.